told Brother Mike a while ago, in my previous career, I could walk in a gym with 1,800 kids sitting there and I'd have their attention in about 2 seconds. So if I need to, I can get down here and talk loud enough that they can hear me out the doors. Thrilled to death to be here on a beautiful Sunday morning that God gave us. It's great to be back in Laurel Hill on something official, kind of. I loved it. The time that I had, that I spent at Laurel Hill School, it was a great place to be. And my intention at that time was to end my career here. But the Lord had some other plans for me. And so I went to some other jobs in the district and was blessed mightily by the Lord in each one of them. Your pastor, this is a great day to be here on your pastor and wife appreciation day. And I can, if anybody appreciates this man more than me in this room right here, you're greatly loved. Mike and I have known each other, like you said, ever since Mike came to Laurel Hill, and I came up here about the same time as principal, and we've carried on a relationship pretty consistently ever since. And through the work in disaster relief, I can promise you, I love this man, and so does everybody else in disaster relief, because when a hurricane comes and we're called out, the first thing everybody texts me or calls me and asks me is Mike going? Because if Mike's not going, they're not going. Because Mike brings a big old bobcat with him that cuts about 80% of the work out for us. So I'm thrilled to be here today, and I thank you for having the faith in me to ask me to come and speak to you. As you notice, Mike has on his yellow shirt. I have on my yellow shirt. This is the first Sunday of the month. And in disaster relief, we call this the Yellow Shirt Sunday. You can go to churches all across the state of Florida right now, and you'll see yellow shirts in the Baptist churches all across the state from members of the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief Convention. And this is the day that we kind of promote our mission work. And that's what it is. We are a mission group, and we do go on missions. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And I hope you leave today knowing a little bit more about the Baptist Disaster Relief System. I hope you leave a little bit more today knowing why I go. I can only speak for myself. And knowing maybe a couple of stories from this past year on our disaster relief, because it was an extremely busy year in 2024. Before I start, I'd like to pray, and I'm praying for me more than y'all. But Lord, please be with me today, and Lord, may I not speak a word. Oh Lord, may you speak through me, and may the truth be told of your good, your grace, your mercy, O Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I want to give you my testimony very shortly concerning Florida Baptist Disaster Relief and Okaloosa Baptist Association Disaster Relief. Did I get it right, Gene? 2018, October, was a very significant time for me. In the end of October, we were sitting around, life was rocking along, life was good, and there's a little storm out in the Gulf of Mexico called Michael that developed. And Michael hit the state of Florida in my hometown. Everybody says it hit Tyndall, Mexico Beach, but on the right-hand side of the storm, it sits Port St. Joe. And everybody knows that right-hand side of the storm is the strongest. I grew up in Port St. Joe. I was born and raised there. My family was still there. My brothers, my several cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody else in the family. So we responded after that. I was not part of any disaster relief group. I started calling friends, gathered up generators, gathered up equipment, gathered up trailers. There was a convoy of 7 trucks and trailers. I think the storm hit Thursday, and we were on the road on Friday afternoon headed over there. Little did I know what we were going to run into. I've lived through several hurricanes. Most of the time I was closed up in a school somewhere with a bunch of people watching over the school. As we got closer to that area, it was the devastation. I can't ever explain it. I don't even try to explain it anymore. I'll just say that we were behind the county crews and the state crews and the National Guard cutting out a path down different roads in order to reach Gulf County and Port St. Joe. We got there, and it was just overwhelming. I spent about 2 months over there, and then another 2 months later on, and to see that kind of grief, that kind of just despair, and out of people that were in my family, it was, you know, it's hard to believe. When you walk in your house and there's fish flopping on the floor and shrimp crawling across the carpet, you know you got a problem. And we had several problems. We had several houses that were in the family. I couldn't go down the street without people I didn't even know chasing me down, asking for help. And that was on Saturday and Sunday. And I had help. I had all those people who were in those seven trucks that followed me over there. We had a good crew of people. But then all of a sudden, phones started ringing on Sunday. Believe it or not, the phones did work. They did have up a cell tower at the elementary school. And all these guys had to go back to work. And I ended up there by myself. We'd already taken three guys to the hospital for heat exhaustion. It was miserable, hot. Food was short supply because we were trying to feed ourselves. It was tough conditions. What sleeping, you go to bed 90 degrees at night, no electricity still. And I woke up Monday morning by myself looking at 9 yards to clean up, and I'm talking hundreds of trees in those 9 yards, and I'm talking trees. And roofed tarp and everything else, and it put me on my knees. And I said, Lord, give me an answer. I need something. And the answer I got was to call my church and ask for help. And I did. And help came. It came sparingly at first, then came richly as we went on. While I was there, I learned of disaster relief. And the training just happened to be in May of that year or the following year. And I'd run across some friends in Niceville that were part of disaster relief. And I made a commitment to it. I mean, it was not something I just did. I feel like I was called to it by the Lord. I feel like I had to make a commitment because I was called. I won't say that when he made the call, I said, here am I, Lord. I don't believe that happened quite that way. When he made the call, I made every excuse I could think of not to do it to begin with, and I still do. But that's my testimony on how I got into this. And I saw the despair of people. I saw the need of the Lord to work in people's lives during these times of crisis, and it's something I've committed myself to. Last year, like I said, was a long year. It was tough. I actually started here in this area in May and June. If y'all remember last year, toward the end of May, 1st of June, we had a storm come through with some frontline winds that leveled a lot of trees, blew fences over. Had some tornadoes in certain areas, had several tornadoes in the city of Tallahassee. And we actually had a call out to Tallahassee to go from Florida Baptist Disaster Relief, made a call out to all the cleanup recovery crews to come to Tallahassee to help clean up after the tornadoes over there. Well, we couldn't go. We had enough damage over here from about Escambia County line all the way through Walton County to keep us busy. And at that time, again, when I think Brother Gene may have given me a call, I know I had some pastors call me and tell me, hey, we need help over here, we need help over here. And again, when I sent out the call for help to come, very little help showed up. Because again, everybody was busy. Everybody had jobs, everybody had their own houses cleaned up and things like that. But eventually we got organized and we got help. Again, through the Lord, because again, I swallowed that pride, that old self-sufficiency attitude that we as Americans tend to have. And I said, Lord, you know, this is getting to be too much. After the third house, I crawled on a roof to tarp by myself or with just very little help from another guy. You know, you kind of get whipped, and the Lord puts your mind in a certain attitude where you got to go to Him, and you got to ask for that, you know, that grace and everything. And He opened those doors. And before it was over with, I had Rocky Bayou Baptist Church out of Niceville, who has a big disaster relief group and are great with trees. They came up and helped. I think they helped at the Okaloosa Baptist Association building there. Had the Walton County Association, Baptist Association Disaster Relief Group. They come over. They're a very organized group with a lot of people, and they have a lot of equipment that they were able to show up with and help us do some things that we couldn't do with what we have. And then we had people just from the community just all of a sudden fall out of the woodwork to help and to get interested in Baptist Disaster Relief. And we did 23 jobs over about a 2.5 week period. And some of those jobs took 3 days to do. They were large jobs. And that got us started. And again, that was a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of work went into that. And then about the middle of June, there was a little storm developed out into the Gulf called Beryl. Beryl was in the Gulf and churned for 14 days before it hit Houston, Texas. And it wasn't that big of a wind storm, but it had a ton of water with it and flooded most of Houston and surrounding areas. And Texas asked for help. And Florida responded, and we sent a command center set up out in, can't remember the town outside of Houston, but set up outside of Houston, a command center, and then we responded to that. We did not go as the Baptist, as the Okaloosa Baptist Association group, we did not go. We were ready to go, and then all of a sudden there's another storm in the Gulf of Mexico called Debbie. And it hit about the time we were looking at the last week of July going to Texas and working over there on that particular situation. And Debbie came up the west coast to Florida, flooded a lot of the west coast, the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Naples areas, all the way up and came in at Perry. Second storm, it actually hit Steinhatchee, I believe, is where it came in at. And came up through Perry and kind of burned itself out in Georgia and went on out into the Atlantic and finished itself off. But, again, a lot of flooding, not a lot of wind damage, but we had to call out. For the second year in a row, within 10 months, we had a command center set up at First Baptist Church of Perry. And we'd already spent, I think, 50-something days over there the year before with Idalia. And we went into Perry and we spent several weeks more. And your association, the Baptist Association, the group from here, we responded for 2 different weeks. We have a lot of other people other than cleanup recovery go. We have people who go and do other jobs at the sites. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But again, that was another response. And we were there for 2 weeks doing cleanup recovery and assessing. Just about, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks later, there was another little storm developed and came up the west coast of Florida. And again, hit just south of Perry. And I can't remember the name of the beach now, but just south of Perry, it hit again just north of Steinhatchee. That little storm is called Helene. Helene hit with a vengeance. Came up, as you know, went through Georgia, a lot of devastation in Georgia, hit the Carolinas, East Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia. A lot of water that they just couldn't handle. And you've seen the destruction that's still in Western Carolina on TV even today. We spent a couple of weeks over doing that job, and one of the weeks we were over there working, there was another little storm developed called Milton. Milton came in and slammed the central part of the state, went all the way across to the state, the peninsula part, and just devastated central Florida. Tons of water, a lot of wind damage, just, you know, it was a hurricane. And we're already deployed in Perry. And we had already had crews working from Helene. We had crews working from Naples, Florida, all the way up through the Big Bend area, all the way to the Georgia line. I think there were 800 and something volunteers working at that time. The decision was made to move the command center from Perry down to Central Florida, which I'll be honest with you, I had a problem with. And as people who know me, when I have a problem, I tend to voice my feelings about it. I felt like we were deserting the people in the Big Bend. And these were people, you know, I grew up with. That's the kind of people I grew up with. And the Big Bend is a very poverty-stricken area. I mean, if you want to find poor, let me take you over there. I can show you poor. And your group, your association group, we continued to go to that area all the way up through February for our last trip over there, I believe. We made our last trip in February, which was a memorable trip. and that's the last time we've been over there. When we left, I was told there were something like 20 work orders left over from the thousands that we originally started with over there, and that most of those would be taken care of by the local disaster relief groups over there. So last year was a very tough, tough year. Every hurricane that come up, as soon as I see it on TV, as soon as I hear it, the message that there's a hurricane anywhere, cyclones in Atlanta, in the Pacific Ocean even, I pray it goes somewhere else. I say, you know, Lord, send that to Mexico. You know, send that one to Latin America. Don't let it hit us. I start looking for every excuse I can find not to go. When the call-outs, when I start seeing those emails come across from David Coggins and Sonny Davison, who are kind of our leaders for the state, I got doctor's appointments. I got cows being, you know, calving. I got this. I got that. I got 1,800 projects. I'll let somebody else do it. And then eventually I'll either be in church, I'll be studying Sunday school lesson, I'll just be reading a verse somewhere, something. And it's like God just takes his back, his hand just slaps me right in the back of the head. And it says, you're going, boy. That's what you're called to do. Get a group together and get ready and go. That's it. Go. And I will say God blessed me more than I deserve this past year. All the times we responded, and we spent, and this is not counting the days of the June storm here locally, we spent 34 days off. And that's your cleanup recovery groups. There's more to that because we got guys I've never met. We've got a forklift driver. He goes to the command center and he handles forklifts in the yard. I have no clue who he is. We've got two people who go over and work with the feeding program, two ladies. I don't have a clue. They probably have fed me many a meals and I don't have an idea who they are. We've got people who go over and work in administration. And again, I don't do those areas, so I don't really know those people. So we have other people associated with our association, the Okaloosa Baptist Association, who go over and do other jobs other than cleanup recovery, and they are extremely needed. I'll equate this with like the Army. For every combat soldier you have out in the field fighting, you got three soldiers behind them supporting them somewhere. And that's the same way with disaster relief. As we go out, it takes about three people back at the command center to keep us going. And I'll mention several of the jobs here in just a minute. But without those people, we can't do what we do. It reminds me of going back to Michael when we were at my younger brother's house and I'm having to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to fix them breakfast of the supplies that we brought over that are running pretty slim after day 7 and trying to feed everybody. Well, when you're on these missions, we don't have to worry about food. We're taken care of. fed pretty good, actually. And I'm going to run a rabbit. My favorite part is the shower and laundry group. Those ladies, and there's one lady, I think she's 83, 84 years old. She's at every call out. I think she stays there the whole time because she's there every time I go. And that laundry and shower, when you can walk into an air-conditioned shower room and take a good shower, and you just throw your clothes in a bag with your name on it and you hand it to somebody as you walk out the door and it's folded in that bag the next day laying on the table ready for you, that is a major blessing. I love those ladies. But I'll get off that rabbit trail. What happened this past year was Mike and I got reacquainted by working at the Okaloosa Baptist Association building. There was a lot of damage with some large trees there. And we went, I think that was the last job we did, to clean it up. And Mike showed up with, we got the name at Bobcat something. We got to give it a name. He showed up with the Bobcat, and he was able to move stuff that we didn't have equipment to move. We had the Rocky Bayou people, as I mentioned, up here, and they had a small tractor with a grapple. Well, it couldn't even wrap around some of these trunks of trees that we were cutting. And so Mike showed up, and that got us reacquainted, and we talked and everything. And Mike's been a part of Baptist Disaster Relief before, and he kind of jumped back in it with us. He probably regrets that sometimes. But that again, as I said, having Mike on these trips is an absolute blessing to me and all the guys that we goes with us because of his talents and his equipment. I'm going to touch on a couple of verses here, and I use these verses when we're out in the field with the people that we meet, because our main purpose is not to go and clean up. Our main purpose is to go and take care of the physical needs. Our first purpose is to go and take care of the physical needs of people who are hurting. That's our first purpose. And we go and we do this so that we can have an audience to give the good news, to speak about the gospel, and to try to bring people to Christ, to try to get them, you know, to see the light and to accept the grace that God gives us for salvation. And the first verses, you don't have to look these up. I'm going to go through some pretty quickly probably. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. These I use constantly for myself and when I'm in the field. Verse 9 reads, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." That first verse I usually go to right before we deploy. Let us not be weary. I know that I'm going to get tired. I know that there's days I get up and I swallow Tylenol by the handful just so I can keep moving. I know there's days we're going to be challenged. I know there's days when I'm, you know, my human aspects come out. Somebody does something to a chainsaw and it just gets all over me because those chainsaws cost about $800 a throw. And, you know, I have to talk to myself. You got to stay cool, stay calm, don't get weary, don't let the devil find that crack to sneak in and you display actions that is not what you're telling these people you're trying to help display or shows them. So I go to that verse all the time, and it's not only weary physically, it's weary spiritually. And we've got to stay, you know, spiritually tough, and we got to stay physically tough. Verse 10 as a favorite part of my verse, and I use it a great deal with the people we help that are already Christians. And you know the minute you walk in the house, I do a lot of assessments for Baptist Florida Relief. I usually go the first week a storm hits. I'll usually go and do nothing but assessing. And that kind of gives me a feel for what is going on and what is needed over the at the disaster site and what kind of people to try to put together to go do whatever cleanups needs to be done. And when I meet the people that I know are Christians, it just... I love it because God tells us, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, help them. Help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've had some great ones. I tell the story all the time, lady in Cross City. She didn't have a lot of damage, really. We went to assess the house. It was some limbs in the backyard, and maybe one tree that needed cutting, and wasn't that big around, you know. Take somebody an hour and a half to do that job. And asked to pray with her, and I start praying. And I notice she's praying. So I start praying a little louder. She starts praying a little louder. We kind of got in a little competition on who was going to shout to the Lord the loudest. But things like that just lighten your heart and makes you feel great. And when I said amen, she kept praying too. Well, we were there for 10 minutes. But love that lady. Matter of fact, went back and did her house, went back to the church, got a couple of chainsaws, a couple of guys. We went and just knocked that job out real quick because she was a sister in faith. Another lady I like to talk about and her husband, Miss Mary, Mr. Robert, and that's the last job we did in the Big Bend area this past year. I met these people, I assessed their house, and to say they lived out in the middle of nowhere would be an understatement. You got on a dirt road to get on a dirt road to get on a dirt road to go to the end of that dirt road to go to their driveway to their house. And when we got there, a gentleman from Central Florida was with me. We were assessing. He was kind of the lead assessor. And we made some promises we probably shouldn't have made, and it was a mess. I mean, they was, again, that part of the world is known as the tree capital of the world. I mean, there's trees everywhere, and they're huge trees, and they had these big pines laid all around the drive and close to the house. I mean, it was a mess. Some big oaks that were uprooted that may fall on the house at some point in time. And because of what happened with all the different hurricanes and their location, they were kind of put off. And we rolled around to December. And I was over there working with a crew over a weekend, and Miss Mary texts me, and she texts me often, and still does. And she said, "Rodney, nobody's come to our house yet." And I said, "Well, Miss Mary," I said, "we're somewhere on the Suwannee River up around Madison." I said, "If I can get there, I'll get there." I said, "They give me some jobs to do, and we've got to do them first." And I ended up talking to the Washington County Association group to go take care of her house. And they did. And they did a good job. They were not equipped to do the big oaks that were uprooted and leaning toward the house. You needed special equipment or special people for that job. I talked to her a couple of times over Christmas, and finally we were able to get some guys together. I've got a couple of guys that can climb trees and do stuff like that when I can get them. And we got a crew together, and we went over. Mike went with us, and we finished that job. Well, I take that back. We almost finished that job. That's the job the skid steer track came off, and then we got stuck, then we broke a water line, and on and on and on went wrong. But we did go back over later and finish that job, I think about a week later. I had a friend in Perry that I'd worked several places with that had a large tractor with a large grapple on it, and we were able to go over there and finished cleaning up her yard from where we had cut those trees down. But Miss Mary and Mr. Robert, like I say, I'm still in contact with them, and she prays for me every day. She prays for Mike every day. She prays for Paul every day. She prays for Stan, my pastor, every day. She prays for everybody who came to that house. every day. She is a prayer warrior. And the first time we were there to do the assessment, we were out in the yard. Now, they're disabled. They're in their 80s. They're both veterans. They're on wheelchairs, scooters, I guess you call them. And we're out in the middle of the yard, and we start to pray. We always pray with people before we leave. And before, I'm trying to think, I think I initiated the prayer on that time. And before I could get started, Mr. Roberts praying. And I said, okay, we'll let him finish and I'll pray. Well, I didn't know whether it was finished or not. Miss Mary's praying. And, you know, we sit there, and again, I'm talking about some time has gone by. These prayers are going to heaven. And finally, Miss Mary gets through, and I pray, then Tim prays, who was assessing with me. And people like that, those Christians that you work with, you never forget. And just one last story. Lady in Louisiana. This has been 4 years ago. I still see her picture all the time. There's a little mission thing at the First Baptist Church in Crestview right now. They got up on the disaster relief, and it's got her picture on there with the guy that I was with. I'm not in it. But new Christian. She got saved when the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief had responded to New Orleans. I think we were at Metairie Baptist Church north of New Orleans. And she was in Kenner, Louisiana, I believe, is where she lived. She wasn't going to survive cancer. She already knew. She accepted Christ. One of the things we do now that we used to not do, we immediately say, if somebody accepts Christ, they're immediately tied to a church and a pastor. And that pastor makes the visits and gets those people in their church and continues that discipleship with them. And I will never forget her face. I will never forget her tears as we put 10 temporary shingles on a garage. That was the job we were sent to do. And, you know, most of the time we'd look at that job and basically shake it off. But that lady, it was her countenance that you could see. She loved the Lord as a new believer, and those are things that don't leave you when you do this job. Now, there's another side of this, too. Every time we do a job, whether it's assessing or whether we do cleanup recovery, we always pray with people, and we try to get them in a circle. We try to hold hands, which is sometimes difficult to do. And we've been places before, and we've been with people who've been so drunk they couldn't stand up. They had to put their cigarette and their can of Bud Light down on the table somewhere to hold hands. But you can't judge. That ain't why we're there. We're bad about it. And I will say I'm probably as bad as anybody about it. But you're there for a reason. And whatever we do, taking care of that physical need first, and then doing the most important thing, taking care of a spiritual need, that is what we hope happens. Hopefully we planted a seed. Maybe we watered a seed. Maybe, you know, the Lord will act in their life. We don't know. It's not our position to know. That's work for the Lord to do. James 2, verses 14 and 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I know James, he's real big into works versus, not versus faith, but your faith should show works. And your works should have faith behind it. And I think that's what James, I want to make sure I stress that with these verses here. But these verses also I use out on the field, usually when I've got situations where I need to talk to the guys. Have very seldom ever had to do it over in Louisiana one time. when we were at our wits' end. We were actually in a church a little bit bigger than this church. And we were stripping that church floor to ceiling, wall to wall, every room in it. And it was a big job for five guys. And we did it, but it was 150 degrees. It was humid as heck. Bugs were awful. And that church had set closed up, I think, for 5 weeks full of water. And the mold in it was, I mean, so we had to wear the mask. We had to wear all the gear and everything. And it was a tough job. And we were getting real aggravated with each other. And I mean, tempers were getting short. We were rubbing each other a little raw. And this is the verses I go to when we get there a lot of times. And it kind of, I know it resets me in the fact that we're there because we've got people who have lost something or they're in the process of potentially losing something because most of the people we work with do not have insurance and it's either us or nothing. And we can look at each other and say, you know, we look at it and, you know, these people are in a need. We're the people there to supply that need. And again, we're there to plant a seed. We're there to get them to see salvation through Jesus' blood on the cross. And they don't need to see us acting like human beings. We need to be a little above it this time. And I go to those verses, and we use those, again, a lot out on the road and on the call-outs. And, again, it's just a blessing for the people that we have been blessed with. I've got a guy, he's 78 years old. If I go, he goes. He doesn't let me go anywhere that he's not with me. And he is my inspiration. Because I asked him one time, I said, Dave, I said, how many more years are you going to be able to do this? He said, as long as I can put one foot in front of the other. Now, I have to watch him. I can't put him on a roof. I have to watch him when he's working with a chainsaw. We were eating lunch one day. This was Idea, I believe, over in the Perry area. And we sat down to eat lunch. Dave got up, and I watched him fall, 6'4" of him, hit the ground. He passed out. So I have to keep an eye on him, and he keeps an eye on me because I do the same thing occasionally. And we're always watching over each other. We're always helping each other. And it's, again, just a blessing to have other people with you of the same mindset that we have. Some ways that we do things, some ways that we serve in the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief. I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to go into detail on these. The assessing, that's pretty much you go out and look at jobs, you fill out a work order, you put the work order in, and cleanup recovery people come out. Feeding. Our feeding program is huge. We have a kitchen that can feed up to 40,000 meals a day. Now, I'll give you some numbers here in a minute. Shower and laundry, as I mentioned, love those people. Security and management, the people who look out over everything, keep all the big trucks, tractor trucks coming in and out, and all the CR teams in and out without us killing each other, running over each other. Forklift operators, I've mentioned. Administration, that's everything from the people who are taking the calls that are coming in for help. And those people, I mean, they're precious. They listen to the people who are calling in asking for help. They pray with them on the phone. They've been several people saved over the phone. I mean, it's remarkable what those ladies do. Logistics and technology, child care, CDL licensed drivers, because like I said, there's tractor trailer trucks. I mean, when you go to these big call outs, I mean, it's an operation. There's a chainsaw trailer. I worked in the chainsaw trailer this past year for 3 days. Loved it. Learned a lot. There's a lot of places to serve. Probably the most interesting area that has come about and really grown in the past 3 years, I guess, is the chaplaincy program. We have chaplains that go out with us. Usually they tie a chaplain to every cleanup recovery crew that goes out. And that person is not expected to get out for the chainsaw or get out cutting out sheetrock, tearing it out. They're there for one reason, to sit and listen to that property owner, to listen to them, to share the salvation story with them, and to see where that person is spiritually, try to tie them to a church if possible. One of the things we learned from Idalia, like most places, a lot of people we run into, we talk to, hey, you go to church? Yeah, I go to a certain church. I hadn't been in a while. I ain't been since COVID. And that's kind of the story all across the country. A lot of people just quit coming to church during COVID and have never got back in that habit. A lot of them got back in the habit around Perry, believe me. There's a lot of areas to serve, and I'll mention a training that's coming up and possible call and everything. But I'd like to read a letter, and I'm not going to read the whole letter. It's about 3 pages long. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs out of it, and that's all. This is from David Coggins. David is our state director. And he sent this letter out. It's dated December the 7th. And he states in it that this is our last response. This is our last numbers. Well, it turned out not to be. We opened up a very small center on the Suwannee River at a ministerial camp, and that stayed open for 3 weeks. And we had people, disaster relief team from New Mexico, Nevada, come in and work in the Big Bend area and help clean up all those open work orders that were left after we pulled out and went South Florida. And so a lot of these numbers can be added too as I read through this, but I want you to know a little bit about what happens as a result of this work. He says, during this hurricane season, we have seen the Lord do great things and provide for us in abundant ways. Beginning in August with Hurricane Debbie, we had 288 volunteers spend 29 days that we were operational at the First Baptist Church of Perry. We had 306 jobs completed. We had 17 professions of faith. We had 17 people saved in that period of time. A couple of weeks later, one of the most devastating storms in recent years made landfall, and we stood once again at the First Baptist Church of Perry. Hurricane Helene made landfall while we were still in response. Hurricane Milton came across Florida. When we stand down on December 7th, we will have been in response to these two storms for 75 days. With these three storms together, Florida Baptist Disaster Relief will have been in response for 104 days of the 2024 hurricane season. This does not include the teams that went to support Texas in response to the Hurricane Beryl in July. To put this in perspective, there are 183 days in a hurricane season each year, June 1st to November 30th. So Florida Baptist Disaster Relief has been responding to hurricanes in 2024 for well over 65% of the response season. For Hurricane Helene and Milton combined, we had 786 credentialed volunteers, 518 day volunteers to respond. This means we had over 1,304 volunteers to serve. These volunteers have provided thus far 70,048 volunteer hours, which amounts to $2,214,217.28 that will go back to the counties that we have served. Now, let me clarify a couple of things. Credentials means you've been trained, you've gone through some classes, in other words, either online or in person, and you get these little cards with your picture on it that lets you in and stay at these command centers, these churches, overnight. Without those cards, you can't stay overnight. You can come as a day volunteer, which is what they mentioned here. We had a lot of day volunteers. A lot of the people, we went back to the Big Bend area on weekend trips and a couple of two-day, three-day trips. Some of them were day volunteers, but we were not staying in a command center at those times. The money that goes back, I can't remember what it is per hour that we get. You can divide that out if you want to. But our volunteer hours goes back to the counties we work in. and it goes to their disaster relief preparation and all. And that money comes from the federal government. At least it did. We'll see what happens in the future. To go on here to finish this out, we have taken 2,393 work orders from homeowners and completed, and we believe that that local teams will be able to finish all that we have left on hand. During our mass care response, the feeding teams prepared 80,708 meals for distribution. Now, that's only the meals that go out to the community. That does not count the meals they prepare for the volunteers that's eating at, that's 3 meals a day for the volunteers eating at the command centers. That's over 80,000 meals that were prepared and distributed. With the Salvation Army in partnership with local churches that got involved by doing food distribution each day by picking up meals and handing those out at the churches. Our chaplains and other ministries had 7,136 ministerial contacts, gave 453 Bibles, made 551 gospel presentations, and have seen 70 professions of faith. 2.8% of presentations resulted in a profession of faith. Our policy is that every profession of faith is confirmed, recorded, and given to a church to follow up, so we are confident in these numbers of salvation. And again, just to go to the whole point of why we're there, is for those salvations. 2 years ago for Idalia alone, I remember it was over 70 salvations just for that one call out in that one particular area, that Big Bend area of Perry. That's why we're there. And again, the last verses that I always try to point to, because numbers, you know, people say, why are you all about numbers? Well, we are. There's a book in the Bible called Numbers, so numbers must be important. But to me, numbers tell a story. Miss Mary and Mr. Robert, they're a number. The lady in New Orleans, she's a number. She was one of the numbers. But they each have a story. And if you look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that's the Great Commission. And it starts like this in verse 19. Go. It don't say, don't go. And that's where God takes his hand, just slaps me in the back of the head. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So what we do is we go. Again, you have to be called to this. I don't ask for people to go to the training, which we, by the way, have May the 31st. May the 31st training starts at 8:30 at St. Andrew's Baptist Church in Panama City. A bunch of us leaving from the parking lot in First Baptist Church, Crestview, if you're interested. And Mike can get you those details if you're interested. But you got to be called. This ain't something you just volunteer for. This is something you're going to go work your rear end off on. And I don't care if you're in the feeding program, administration, working in those air-conditioned offices on computers, or answering telephones in an air-conditioned office somewhere. You know, it doesn't matter. You work. But you're doing God's work. You're doing what you're called to do if you're called to do it. What can you do? As I said, there is training on May the 31st. If you feel like you want to look into this deeper, that's the place to go. If you want to talk to me more, my phone is published all over the world. I probably won't answer, but leave me a message and I will call you back. What you can do is prayer. I'm praying for no hurricanes. I know that ain't going to happen. I know we're going to have tornadoes. We're going to have to respond to something. We just had a group come back from Kentucky. We had a call out to Hopkinsville, Kentucky on, I believe that's the Cumberland River flood. This past 4 weeks, matter of fact, they took the command center down today, and they're coming back home. We had two guys from our association respond to it, Mike Burke from Emmanuel Baptist Church and Brian Batten from First Baptist Church, Crestview. They went up to do assessments. They said it was a mess. Most of the things they went and looked at, they couldn't get to because it's still underwater. Had houses still, water's up to the roof. But those houses will be torn down. They won't be cleaned out and all. So there's a lot of things to do. Pray for these guys. Pray for these ladies, because we do have ladies go with us. I've got one lady right there. Her name escapes me along with my name. But she goes with us just about every call out. And I love her to death, because when I get there, as Mike can tell you, I'm like this. I'm looking. There's a tree that needs to be cut. That needs to be cut. We got to take that wall out. We got to get all that carpet up. We got to get that counter out. Da, 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 da. That's what I'm looking at. I want to get it, go to the next job. That's just my personality. She, on the other hand, pretty laid back. She will get with the property owners usually. She'll get them in a shade somewhere, sit down. They'll get to talking. She'll build a relationship with them. Usually before we leave, they're hugging and loving on each other. And she shared the gospel with them. Before we leave, anytime we do clean up recovery, before we leave, we give them a Bible. Whether they got a house full of Bibles or not, I don't care. We give them a Bible that has the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief in written on it. I can't remember the word I'm trying to say. And we sign our names to it, and we put Bible verses or comments in it, and we give it to the people, because I want them to remember us. I want them to remember why we were there. And we always pray. And that's one of the last things we do. And that's what I would ask of you, and I've gone 10 minutes over, by the way, is to pray for us. Pray for this whole association. This is not a small association. Disaster Relief covers Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Pennsylvania, out west, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas. I think I mentioned Tennessee already. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and I'm sure I left out a state somewhere. But we're all over this nation. We've responded to the fires in Hawaii. We've responded to the fires in Colorado. We've responded to Puerto Rico. We've been to Honduras. We go all over. We're not the Samaritan's Purse. We have two paid employees. I love Samaritan Purse, don't get me wrong. But we have two paid employees. David Coggins, the head guy. Then there's a guy that looks over all the equipment and all the stuff that's in a warehouse down in Lake Wales, and he's paid. The rest of us, can't remember how many thousands that is, but it's several thousands. We're all volunteers, and we're all volunteers for Christ. And that's what I, you know, want to leave you with, and I ask you, if you don't know Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. Every one of us is a sinner. And every one of us need that salvation. Every one of us is going to sin after we have that salvation. But we need that blood covering us and that sin. And if you haven't accepted him, then I, you know, offer you this opportunity to see Mike. I'd be glad to talk to you when we go eat. And whatever you need to know about that salvation. And I can tell you, it changed my life when I was 15, and I married the girl who led me there. So thank you for asking me here. Again, I hate going overtime. There's probably food that's getting cold back in the back. But again, thank you, Mike, for all you do and all you do at this church and in this community. And thank you greatly for all the help you've given me. Thank you all.